Hello and welcome to my fourth podcast. This is Jeff Holton, and hopefully you came over here from my website, jeffreyholton.com, which is subtitled A Pastor in Transformation. This webpage has become my digital pulpit of sorts over the years, and right now as I'm seeking another full-time position, this is becoming my outlet to where I can do Bible studies, update you on what's going on in my life. So this podcast in particular is just one way that I get to use my passions to teach the Word of God. And as you know, I've been going through the book of Acts, and we will continue that in a few moments. But I do want you to all know that we are now officially in the Christmas season, and it's a week after Thanksgiving, actually, at the time of this recording. And I didn't go out last Friday for Black Friday, and I don't know if you braved the swarms of people and all of the violence that's happening out there, but I decided to not do anything as we were driving back from our short getaway with our family as we spent Thanksgiving with family. But I know that as many of you are preparing for Christmas, you may be looking for some resources or some things to give away to loved ones. Would encourage you to go do your shopping however you need to. But one gift that I think would be a great early gift for a loved one is, since this Sunday, December 2nd, is the first Sunday of Advent, I would encourage you to go on over to Amazon.com, because I wrote a book a number of years ago, I think 2 years ago, back in 2016, a book entitled The Advent of Jesus Christ. And it's a 22-day devotional that's intended to encourage and edify believers during the Advent season. It's a Christ-centered Advent book. And these were devotionals that I wrote personally. And you can get it on Amazon, like I said, in either a Kindle form for $1.99, which is a steal, or you can get it in a paperback form for $6, which is still a pretty good price. And you can also get it with the Prime deal, so you can have it. If you can go there right now and order it, you can have it in 2 days. So it would really encourage you to check that out. And if you didn't also know, I wrote a devotional on the book of James that same year, and I released that as both a Kindle and a paperback edition for the same price, $1.99 for the Kindle and $6 for the paperback. If you act now, act today, you can get both books, The Advent of Jesus Christ and James, Where Faith and Life Meet, written by yours truly, me. You can get it for the special price of $12. Both books for $12. But if you don't want to get both books, you can get them both for $6 a piece. So it's a steal. You can't pass this deal up. And nothing says you love someone more than giving them a book written by me with all of my love and heartfelt passion in writing. You just give these books to somebody and it's going to scream that you love them. On a serious note, I personally have read both of these books, so I'm not going to be reading them for the Advent season. I picked up a book many, many years ago, and it's been sitting on my shelf, but I'm going to read through it this year for Advent. It's called Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus, and it's edited by Nancy Guthrie. It's written in a format of 23 short devotionals by influential and historical writers. Most of them, I should say, are historical, by George Whitefield, Martin Luther, some more well-known today, people like John Piper, Tim Keller, Martin Lloyd-Jones. 23 devotionals, like I said, 4 or 5 pages each. Takes you through the Advent season to encourage you. And I'm really excited to start it this Sunday, December 2nd. And if you have already read both of my devotionals, or you're like, yeah, I'm just not a Jeff Holton book reader, I'd rather read something different, check out Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. All three of these book links are in the notes section of this podcast, and you can go click them right now, check them out. Currently, life is going well. I'm just still praying about what God is having me do in my life, and would ask those prayers and from you that you would continue to pray that God would reveal His will to me so that I know the direction which I'm supposed to be going. And you know, I'm happy right now. I'm content. But I also, as I explained to somebody, I have the itch to be in full-time ministry, and I want that itch to, I want to scratch that itch, so to speak. So I just really feel that, you know, God has the perfect place for me. I'm praying about that. I'm not worried about it. I know that He has the best possible thing for me, and I'm just waiting for that. And in the meantime, I'm just serving however I can. Loved this past Sunday. I got to serve in the church that I am attending currently as a bass player. I am a bass player. If you know me, I play music. I got to play in the praise band. Really, really enjoyed that. Had a fun time. It was good to do that. This Christmas Eve, I'm going to be helping out with a few things also. So it's nice to serve in a capacity where you could just do it with a heart filled with praise to God. And that's how I've always served. And I love to be able to serve in the church. I love the church. I love this church that we're attending as a family. And there are times that I will check out other churches in the area. And it's been a lot of fun to do that. Just been able to see some friends preach and to check out their churches and see what God is doing in the midst. So I'm really excited to see what God has in store for the Holtons and 2019, and I'm just anticipating and looking forward to that. So would encourage you to continue praying for me. Enough about me. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about the Spirit-filled life. If you have a Bible in paper form or even on your phone, would encourage you to read along with or maybe just listen to Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 41. This is the ESV version. But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judah and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let the Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us today. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we all are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. We're in Acts. We are in chapter 2. Last week we ended in verse 13. So this week we're going to pick up in Acts chapter 2, verse 14. I'm going to go through verse 41. This devotional here isn't going to be a long, drawn-out thing, so I just hope that you get some encouragement from these. So today I just want to talk a little bit about the Spirit-filled life, and what does it look like for us as Christians? How do we live Spirit-filled lives? And what is the difference between living a Spirit-filled life and a flesh-filled life? These are some questions that I'm going to talk about today. And as we're continuing our journey through Acts, and this passage is known as the Great Sermon of the Apostle Peter, and it's also the ushering in of the Age of Grace. We're not going to look so much at the actual content of this sermon as much as we will look at the amazing result of his Spirit-filled sermon. And the last time we got together, I talked about the fulfilled promise of Jesus Christ, when the Holy Spirit descended on his followers, and it was evidenced by the sound of winds, the tongues of fire, and the utterances in other languages, as they empowered the believers. And when the God-fearing Jews, who were coming from all parts of the known world at that time, witnessed this event, they were amazed at what they saw, and they were more specifically amazed at what they heard. These Jews were so perplexed that the only conclusion for this phenomenon that they could come to was that these believers were drunk with wine. And Peter, who was filled with the Spirit and not with wine, addressed these accusations, and he cleared up exactly what was happening on this strange day. In verse 14, we read through Peter's first sermon, and it goes through to verse 41. And according to author and theologian R. Kent Hughes, this sermon was his greatest sermon because of the place it occupies in history of redemption. It is the introductory sermon of the Age of Grace. It's greatest by its pure results. The result is 3,000 converts. And it's greatest by virtue of it being a model for apostolic preaching. In this sermon, he explained what was happening, and he counters the claim that the believers were drunk with wine since it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. He quotes Joel 2:28-32, which is a prophecy about the coming age of grace. He says that these people are witnessing the fulfillment of the coming, indwelling, empowering, and filling of the Holy Spirit. He tells those listening that the filling of the Spirit is no longer reserved just for the prophets, but it's now available to all who believe in Jesus Christ. The sermon itself is an amazing example of the Holy Spirit empowering Peter because he preaches with boldness and conviction about Jesus Christ. If you remember, about 50 days earlier, this same man was the one who denied Jesus 3 times, and now here he stands in front of over 3,000 people and boldly and unashamedly speaks about the same Jesus Christ. The evidence of Peter being empowered by the Spirit is by noting the results of this sermon. It tells us that over 3,000 people came to know Jesus Christ on this day. You see, only the Holy Spirit can deliver these results. I believe that had Peter given this sermon in his strength and power and doing it in his own flesh, it would have fallen on deaf ears and the end result would have ended in a riot and probably a lot of deaths. But if you're a student of history, you can look at some of the great revivals and you can see how they all came to be. And all of them happened as a result of the moving of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at the first Great Awakening in America, which happens in the mid-1700s. One in particular case is about a pastor named Jonathan Edwards, who preaches a sermon entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Sounds like a real encouraging sermon, doesn't it? But from the pulpit, Edwards stood and solemnly read from his notes with a slow cadence, with little eloquence. And really, if you and I were listening to this sermon, most of us would feel like we would be pushed further away from God rather than being drawn closer to Him. But the Holy Spirit was at work. And the second time he preached this sermon, it was met with people responding with weeping and crying out in repentance to God. It was even said that the bars were closed because there just weren't any people coming to them because everyone was getting saved. This led to the Spirit-filled revival, which was the first great awakening, and is one of many events in history where the Spirit of God resulted in remarkable things. Many people try or have tried to replicate these revivals, but are usually met with little or no response. And why is that? Because we as humans cannot bring forth revival. Revival is the Spirit's job, and we must allow Him to do His work. So this brings us to the main theme of what I would like to talk about today. And that is the Spirit-filled life versus the flesh-filled life. I believe as Christians, we can live one of these two ways. We can either live in the Spirit or we can live in the flesh. Or in other words, living in the power of God or living in the power of ourselves. We try to live the Christian life in our own strength and ability, and we never experience the power of God because we do not want to give up control of our lives. We depend on our abilities, on our intellect, and what it means to manipulate situations to make them work for us. We like to do that. We like to manipulate and deceive, and we want things to work for our benefit, and then tell everyone that it's from God. Sadly, Christianity is just one more thing we do when we are living a flesh-filled life. It's just one more thing we can check off in our lives. We add it to a list of other abilities or groups that we belong to, like the country club, the library, the VFW, the book club, and the church. It's just one more event that we attend, one more club that we belong to. But God doesn't want us to live our lives in our own strength. God wants us to live in His power, and He wants us to fully rely on Him. He knows we are just human beings, and without His power, we're no more than that. We're no more than just human beings without the Spirit of God in us. And this is what the Spirit-filled life is all about. The Spirit-filled person is a person who relies on an outside source, God, for his or her power and ability to live his or her life for God's glory. And this is what happened in Peter's sermon. Peter gave a sermon that stirred the crowd and eventually brought 3,000 people to Christ, thus giving birth to the church age. Is this something that he did in his own strength? Is this something that he conspired and manipulated people to do? Absolutely not. The Spirit of God was upon him, and the words he spoke were Spirit-filled words. Thus, the result was a supernatural phenomenon. So, as I close today, I'd like you to think about your life and about yourself. How are you living your life? Are you living your life in the strength of the Spirit? Or are you living your life in the strength of your own power and abilities? And my prayer is that you are the one who fully relies on God, one who is empowered by the Spirit of God and is enabled to live and to serve and to breathe the Spirit-filled life for God's glory, because this is what God wants for you. God wants you to be filled with Him so that you could live your life for His glory. What an amazing thing. What a privilege we as believers have to have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And as we go throughout the weeks, months, we're going to look at how the Spirit-filled life continues to work, not only in our lives, but in the life of the church, the early church, because we're going to see that when the Spirit of God is active and moving, great things happen. And that's something that we need to be praying for in our lives personally and as churches. We need to pray that the Spirit of God would fall upon us like it fell on the Apostle Peter and the believers of the early church, so that we can see revival, so that we can see the Spirit of God do amazing things in our homes, in our churches, in our schools, in our workplaces. God wants to do great things in our lives. And we need to be open and available to the Spirit. And we need to be willing to be vessels used by Him so that people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and respond in repentance and come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I pray this for you. I pray this for me. I pray this for my church. I pray this for your church. I pray this for the church across the world, that the Spirit of God would fall and revival would happen. Let us continue to pray that. May you go out in peace. May the peace of God just ooze from you. That sounds really weird. May it flow from you so that people will see Christ in you and see the Spirit of God working in your life. I pray that you have a great day, and we will talk to you again soon. May God bless you today.